And good morning to our brothers and sisters in Roma as we continue our series in Colossians. We've had a baby this week, so this talk will just get there. Let's pray and ask God to help us listen. Our Father, our great comfort is the word that appears on this page as dead ink is actually your word, and it's alive, and your spirit is going to work with it right now. And so we pray that would be the case. Wherever our minds are, wherever our hearts are, we pray that you would clear them and put them squarely with you. And we pray this for our good and for your glory. Amen. Don't know if you've ever been through that process where you kind of apply for a job or something like that, or you're looking for work, and then you kind of think, what am I supposed to wear to this interview? You know, the bloke rings up and he says, all right, come in and have a chat. You go, all right, I'll come in and have a chat. Does he mean, do I wear my high viz? Am I meant to wear a suit to this thing? What do I actually do? And then, as you can see on the screen, the worst piece of information anyone can give you about clothing is, come in smart casual. What does that mean? Do I wear jeans for smart casual? Do I wear chinos? Is it a nice t-shirt, a v-neck? I don't even know, except it's on every second wedding invitation. Smart casual. I did have one once that said garden cocktail, and I was even more in the dark about that. But wearing the right clothes for the right occasion is really important. And actually, this passage today is about the idea of wearing the right clothes for the right occasion. It's the kind of word picture that the Apostle Paul uses throughout Colossians chapter 3. Because he says there are a kind of clothing you should wear when you belong to Christ. There are clothes that are right to wear and clothes that are wrong to wear. Behaviours that are right for the person who belongs to Christ and behaviours that are wrong for the person who belongs to Christ. And he talks about those behaviours and those sins in terms of clothing. And so we're going to look at this passage today under three headings, if you're a kind of note taker. Three headings that will help us navigate the idea of what the right clothes are for those in Christ. The first one is new location. Second heading is put off, and the third heading is put on. New location, put off, put on. So the first thing the Apostle Paul is going to point out to these guys in this letter is basically that as Christians, they're now at a new venue. They're somewhere that'll require different clothing. You would experience this if you say you walk into the Russell or the Leagues Club or something and you go in there and there's kind of a plate and it says, no singlets, no thongs after 6 p.m., no Broncos jerseys ever. I added that one, but you get the picture. Once you go into that kind of new venue, there's an appropriate kind of clothing that you have to wear. And the first thing the Apostle Paul says to these guys as he writes to them is that you guys are now in a new venue. You're in a new location. You remember over the last few weeks, we've been looking at this letter of Colossians, and it's written to a bunch of people in a city called Colossae. They've become Christians about 5 or 6 years ago. And it's the kind of city that used to be once great, but it's lost its former glory. And so the people there are wanting to make Colossae great again, which made them fertile for new ideas, which meant they were accepting of the gospel, but it also means they're open to lots of other new ideas. And Paul's been writing to them and saying, look, you guys have got everything you need in Jesus. The first two chapters have really been the theory or the theology about them having everything in Jesus. And in these next two chapters, he gets into a lot of practical stuff. And he kicks off this one by saying, look, remember, you're now at a new location in Jesus. It's like in these first few verses, he's saying that you've got a tow rope and there's Jesus and he's got the tow rope out and it's attached to you. And wherever he goes, you go. And as Jesus died on the cross, you've been towed as though you've died and your sins are now dealt with. As Jesus came up through the grave to resurrection, it's as though you've been towed through death to the other side. And wherever Jesus is, that's where you are in a new location with him. That's what he says to these guys as he writes them. Have a look, it's in verse 1 and verse 3. He says to them, since then you have been raised with Christ. And it's repeated in verse 3. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. This is a huge idea in the New Testament. It's called the doctrine of union with Christ, or being in Christ is how it's mostly talked about in the New Testament. And it is the truth that once somebody becomes a Christian, it's as though they're united with Jesus in an inseparable way. They've walked into a new kind of life, a new kingdom, a new location, a new venue. They are hidden with Christ, not in the sense of they're playing hide and seek and one day you're going to go boo, but in the sense of sheltered and protected and always with him no matter what. So Paul is saying to these Christians, you are totally sheltered with God. Jesus has done all that's necessary to stop you from being taken from God. Nothing can get you. You have the same status as Jesus. Sin-free, death-defeating, united with the Father. Whereas the passage says, in God with Christ. Really important to get this before we move on, because Paul's about to talk about some ways you should behave. And he's not saying you should behave like this in order to be right with God. He's saying you are right with God. As a result, behave like this. Their thoughts and passions and practices should revolve around being who they are. You're tied to Jesus, so set your hearts and your minds on living like that. Let me read to you the whole of the section from verse 1. Paul says to them, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Look, here's sort of the thing to grab for us out of this section. The thing that's kind of important to remember. When you are a Christian, you are at a new location, safely hidden with Christ. And so changing your life is not to become someone different, but to become who you really are. To be who you really are. Because you hear that phrase a lot, don't you? That you've got to discover yourself and be true to yourself. You've got to become who you are. You've got to kind of look deep inside and find that sort of thing about who you are. It's very common for people to talk about that. But where do you look to find yourself? Does your family define you? Your feelings define you? Does your job define you? Do your sexual attractions define you? Where do you look to find who you are? Paul says, for the Christian, the place to look to tell you who you really are is to look to Jesus. That's who you really are, and nothing can change it. We are with Christ in God. If we want to be our true selves, we must become like Christ. And now that you're in this new place, this new world, this new existence, Paul's going to go on to say there are some clothes that just aren't appropriate anymore. Like every single time I've been interviewed for a job, there are some clothes that just aren't appropriate. I was working on this talk and then I thought, oh, it'd be good. I'll kind of think back to some of the job interviews I've done and the clothes I wore. And then I thought, I don't know, understand how I have a job. When I finished high school, I had to go and be interviewed for university. And there was this thing where I went to radio school, which is a real thing, and I got flown from Ballina to Sydney for this interview. And I go down there and I'm in the waiting room and the guy before me comes out and he's wearing a two-piece suit and the tie. And I'm wearing quick-dry board shorts and a pair of thongs and a T-shirt. Another time I had an interview, which was when I first started working for a church. And I thought I'll squeeze in a run between work and the interview. So I went for a run and ran out of time. Went straight to the interview and I stunk. Wrong clothes. There are some things I think that just really aren't appropriate for certain situations. And in the second part of the passage, the Apostle Paul is saying that because of their new location in God with Christ, there are some clothes they have to put off, things they need to get rid of. And we're up to point two, put off. All the stuff, Paul says, it's associated with just living on earth, with not knowing God. All of that needs to be unbuttoned, peeled off and chucked on the floor. Anything that doesn't match the truth that they're sheltered with Jesus in heaven should go. Get rid of them. It's what he says from the start of verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And Paul goes through two types of lists here. Two types of things that need to be discarded, two kinds of behaviours. They are basically sexual kind of sins and then sins of the mouth or of speaking. Two kinds of lists, kind of sexual sins and then sins of the mouth or speaking. The first list is really a bunch of sexual kind of sins. It's a group of words that would be easily recognised by these people in Colossae as words to do with kind of sexual excess and sexual obsession. Paul's message to them is they need to get rid of the life that's focused on kind of animalistic sort of lust-driven actions. So in verse 5, he says, put to death sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. I don't know if you know this, but actually we didn't invent sexual excess. It existed long before our time. They lived in a world where sexual excess was astounding. They hadn't really had the Victorian era. There was kind of a cultural tradition for them in their time where they had these feasts. A lot of the time they were organised by rich people or the government, and they'd go to these feasts, often near the pagan temple, and everyone would have a great hoo-ha and they'd have a big feed and they'd finish eating, and then after that the respectable women would leave and the prostitutes would come. And that was kind of just a thing that you did, like going to the pub on a Saturday night. And one of the great signs of manhood was going to that feast and being able to stay after the meal was done. This is just what they did. It was tied into their culture really richly and tied into their path to becoming a man. It was tied into their kind of religion. And Paul is saying to them that that lifestyle, that kind of culture is no longer appropriate for someone who belongs to Christ. That's the first list he says to put off. Put off the sexual sins, Colossian people. The second list is sins of the lips, of the mouth, the kind of things that spray out in moments of lack of self-control or even calculated moments of nastiness. Now they are in Christ, he says, they need to stop flying off the handle. They need to stop tearing people down. They need to stop being foul-mouthed just for the reaction. He says it from verse 8. Now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these, as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Don't lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices. There are two lists, sexual sins and speaking sins. And it's interesting, I think, because for Paul, these two kinds of sins, these two kinds of living, these two types of clothes are the things you wear when you don't care very much about other people or God. They're the ways you behave when your needs are more important than others. You know, you sleep with and lust after whoever you want, and you think about and you treat people as kind of objects, and you don't care if other people don't know about it or don't like it. It's the lifestyle where the Jews there tear down the filthy Gentiles. They rail against the kind of babbling barbarians who can't read. They get angry at bosses who won't give them what they want. Paul identifies these sins not just as things that anger God, and they certainly do, but things that will tear apart their communities and their church family, which is supposed to be sheltered in Jesus. And Paul says, take off these sins, because now in Jesus you're all one together with him. He says it in verse 11. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. put off the sexual sins and the speaking sins that ruin community and anger God, because now you're sheltered with Christ. I think for us, this is probably one of the easiest parts of Colossians to apply, really, and one of the easiest parts of the Bible. I mean, the call for us who belong to Jesus is to put off sexual sins and speaking sins without fear or favour. And there's a sense where you look at this where the sexual sins are the easiest ones to spot. You know, we know they're not right, don't we? Promiscuity, adultery, manipulation sexually, all of those things. And if you ask someone who calls yourself a Christian and you're looking regularly at pornography, that's not the right clothing to wear. It makes people objects, fries your brain, and it creates distance from you and others. If you haven't started facing it, you need to. If you're a Christian and you're married and sex for you has become a tool of emotional manipulation, whether withholding or wrapping someone around your finger to get what you want, that's not okay. It's not appropriate. It's not what it's for. You need to remove those kind of behaviours. Face up to them. Live like someone sheltered in Christ. There's a sense, though, I think, when we look at sexual sins, they're sort of the easy money. I'll tell you what I mean. Because I think as Christians, we're often very vocal about getting rid of the sexual sins. Promiscuity is terrible. Adultery is terrible. Pornography is terrible. Homosexuality is terrible. But we're not nearly as vocal about sins of the mouth or the lips. And Paul says, for those of us who are Christian, if we're the kind of people who talk about others in our church family in order to make ourselves look good, that's not okay. If we're the kind of people who act like referees in life, ready to bubble up with a correction or a bit of anger or a snide remark, Paul says, that's not okay. That's not the kind of clothing that's appropriate for the Christian person. And I wonder sometimes if we put nearly as much effort into working on sins of the mouth and sins of the lips as we do in thinking about and talking about sexual sins, I wonder how much more of a great witness we'd be to the work of the Lord Jesus. We're at a new location, at a new venue in Christ. And Paul says to us, we must put off the clothing, the behaviour, the sins that don't match who we now are. You're a new thing now. Put on different clothes. Wear the appropriate clothes. You know, I think that when I look back at some of those interviews, it would have made more sense for me, I think, to wear at least long pants to my interview for radio school. Maybe not a jacket, that's a little bit too far. I can't remember what I wore for my interview for this church, by the way. You guys gave me about 124 interviews, so I can't remember which clothes I wore to which one, but I can guarantee you they weren't quite right and I probably should have worn something nicer. That's just how it is. And Paul's going to say to these guys, since you've been united to Christ, since you have a new life with him, there are now some things you should put on. And we're at our final point here, put on. And it's a great section that opens with a restatement of who we are in Christ. One of the richest statements of Christians in the entire New Testament, where the Apostle Paul puts three words together here that are nowhere else together in the entire New Testament. Three powerful words that describe how valued you are as someone in Jesus. And the words he uses are called out. And he uses loved. And he uses holy. He describes people in Christ as though God has, he's looked around and he's got you and he's picked you up and he's put you on the mantelpiece and gone, yes. Look how he describes us. Start of verse 12. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, now that you are with God, now that you're his, here are the right clothes to put on. And it's a list of things that describes a sort of deep character of a person. A person who says words that are not just actions, but a deep-seated way of life. words that together describe someone who's not overly impressed with themselves or by their own importance. People who are strong yet mold their strength with a concern for others. Those who wait with determination for what is right. Those who step out of the way, open the door, carry the load, clean the floors. It's the kind of character that Paul describes as appropriate for Christians. Look at the rest of verse 12. He says, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. And Paul knows what they're thinking here as they read this. What they're probably thinking is, they're really nice ideas, but if you live like that, you'll get trampled over. Because in fact, in their day, gentleness and humility were not nearly as valued as they often are today. Gentleness and humility were looked down on as foolish and weak. In fact, the culturally appropriate thing to do was to praise yourself and declare how wonderful you were. That was what you did, and it appeared everywhere. Listen to this. I found a little introduction to a book that Josephus wrote. He's a historian, and he's just sort of letting people know he's all right before the book begins. Check this out. This is not my resume, by the way. He says, my family is not an ignoble one, tracing its descent far back to priestly ancestors. Different races base their claim to nobility on various grounds. With us, a connection with the priesthood is the hallmark of an illustrious line. Brought up with Matthias, I made great progress in my education, gaining a reputation for an excellent memory and understanding. While still a mere boy, about 14 years old, I won universal applause for my love of literature, insomuch that the chief priests and the leading men of the city used constantly to come for me for precise information about something particular in our ordinances. Can you imagine working with that bloke? But that was the right thing to do in their day. To be strong, to be sure about your achievements, to let people know. And Paul says, no, that's not the right way to live and to speak when you're in Jesus. No, be humble and gentle and kind and compassionate. And he knows that's difficult. He knows that's difficult in a world made of people who mess things up. It's difficult in a community of people who often think about themselves and act for themselves. So in verse 13, Paul says, you know what? You'll have to bear with each other. You'll have to bear with each other. That's the start of a good Christian community. If you want to get out of the blocks, start by putting up with each other. And then eventually, copy Jesus and extend forgiveness. In verse 13, he says, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Put on forgiveness. And finally, Paul says, there's one last thing, one last jacket to put on over the top of it all. And this really is the strongest of all the clothing, one thing that'll bring them together in their new place in Jesus, and it's love. The practical actions that will show their concern for others. In verse 14, he says, over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And you know, I do kind of relate to the way Paul speaks here, because when you hear about those traits, those kind of clothes like gentleness, compassion, kindness, humility, love, forgiving, bearing with each other, you hear about those things and it does sound good, but when it comes to the crunch, gentleness can seem weak. But I think the argument of this passage, and I want to say experience, is that these kind of clothing are actually the strongest of all. They're kind of the Kevlar jacket of living. Because compassion and kindness and bearing with one another and forgiveness, they might sound like a soft way of life in a greeting card. But let me tell you, for the person who lives them out, they're actually the most difficult behaviours of all. Because if, for the person who faces someone who has endlessly gossiped about them, and forgives them and then joins in their small group, that is hard work. To the one who faces someone who has abused them physically, emotionally, or in any other way, and with the energy of Christ seeks to forgive them and understand them, that is the hardest work of all. For the people who in the midst of family breakdown seek to be kind and compassionate and gentle and bearing and forgiving, that is hard work. For those who, rather than running from friendship betrayal, do all they can to restore, there is nothing soft about that. When you live a life committed to bearing, forgiving, and loving, that is a tough piece of clothing to wear, and it fits a bit awkwardly. Because, you know, you can get that first bit, you can bear with people. You probably do bear with people. You probably bear with people at work, maybe at home. You bear with people at church. But now we're in a new venue, forgiven by Christ with God, we're to go even further. Forgiving each other and loving each other, even to those who don't deserve it. And it was very tough for Jesus to extend forgiveness to us. And even with his help, it will be tough for us to extend forgiveness to others. Here's what I want to say this morning out of the back of this passage. If there is someone at church in our Christian family who has hurt you, I wonder if it's time to face it and to deal with it. Perhaps they've hurt you with sins of the mouth, slander, gossip, lies. Maybe you're the offender. Friends, don't just bear with it. Take the steps to forgive and love. And it will be difficult. You may need the help of your home group leaders, our elders, counsellors. Maybe I can help. But wearing the clothing of forgiveness, compassion, gentleness, kindness, it might feel uncomfortable and restrictive and ill-fitting, but we put them on because of who we are. We are with God in Christ, so we put on a new way of living. Let me pray for us. Our Father, we do want to first and foremost thank you that when we trust the Lord Jesus, we are raised with him. That tow rope has pulled us through the death that our sins deserve. It has pulled us through the grave, and now we're considered alive with Jesus with a certain hope of eternity. Now that we're in this new spot, united with Jesus, help us to put off the old ways that just don't make sense anymore, and help us to put on the new ways. Help us to bear with one another, to forgive one another, and over all of that, to love one another. I pray this morning, Father, for anyone in this room who might need to seek reconciliation, to seek forgiveness or to offer it. I pray that you would begin a work in them by your Spirit and with people around them to bring about restoration and unity in Jesus so that we can be who we really are in him. Amen.